Matthew chapter 6. We can read again at verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But particularly it be the words in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? All these things have been spoken about in the previous verses. Eating and drinking, clothing. All this stuff of life. And in these is really described every aspect of life and all that takes up our attention. And that's what so much of recent days have been consumed with, hasn't it? I bought fuel the other day in the lady serving me was saying, well, are you all set? Is everything ready? And there's such pressure to have everything ready. To have all the food and all the drink and all the clothing and everything else. And what a danger is that we neglect what matters most. So much is done in the name of the Lord, and yet the Lord himself is forgotten. There's no place for him. And there's a warning in Scripture about trusting in uncertain riches. And what type of riches are uncertain? Well, it's the type of riches that can vanish away. And that's all the riches of this present world. Gold and silver. How quickly money can vanish. And property. And whatever it is you can hold in your hand. They're called uncertain riches because ultimately there's no permanence to them. But there's another sense in which they are certain riches because they will certainly disappoint you. Because at the end of the day, there's never enough, is there? He who loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver because there's never enough silver, never enough gold. Never enough of whatever it is. Always clamoring after more. And so these words of our Lord come. Well-known words here in the Sermon on the Mount. Challenging the prevailing attitude of life. Trying to find satisfaction in gathering and gaining. And as a call to refocus. And we find here what we might call Jesus' priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if it's Jesus' priority, it is a priority that you and I ought to have also. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Maybe you've experienced it, but maybe not. But you'll certainly understand that unemployment can be so destroying. Because when there is unemployment, there is a sense of pointlessness. And that pointlessness can lead to a hopelessness. Very difficult to live without purpose. And employment helps to give purpose. Not always, but in general terms, that is so. And that's true as a general principle in life. But it's particularly true in a spiritual sense. That you must have a clear purpose. You must have a clear priority. What is your life about? What it is for? It ought to be to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? To seek the kingdom of God, well, it means initially, or firstly, we might say, to be within the kingdom. Not to simply know about it, not to observe it from a distance, but seek to enter into the kingdom of God. And so the question is for you tonight, are you within the kingdom of God? Have you bowed before the King? Have you submitted to him? Is he your Lord? Does he rule? And do you serve? And do you follow? I know that he is the King and that he has a kingdom. But have you entered in? And of course, there's only one way to enter in. Children, you're not in the kingdom of God simply by being born in a Christian home or raised in a Christian church. But ultimately, you must enter in by faith. You're baptized as children, as infants, before you remember. Because that baptism demonstrates the place and the privilege that you have and the promises of God, but also sets out the responsibility that you have to make good upon your baptism and to follow through upon it and take hold of him by faith. Baptism alone will not save you when it is not complemented with the reality of personal faith. Are you within the kingdom of God? Are you reconciled through faith and repentance? Not simply that you believe about Jesus Christ, but that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you trust in him as your Redeemer. That you stop trying to live your own life independent of him. You stop trying to work out your own righteousness according to your own efforts, but rather you submit to and you surrender yourself into his care and the provision that he has made through his death upon the cross. Do you give up? Not in despondency and despair, but do you give up your trying to make yourself right and leave yourself in the hands of the Lord? That is what it is to believe in Jesus Christ. That you will cry out to the Lord and say, "Receive me in him." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, to be found within it. That's not a casual, careless kind of thing, but it is a consuming effort that is required, that you would give yourself. It says in Luke chapter 13 that you're to strive to enter in. And as you probably know, in the original language, that word strive is a sense of agonize. There'd be such determined effort. It may cause pain. And it means leaving behind whatever else may hinder and hold you back. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. But those who strive to enter in shall be able. If there's a giving of yourself unto the Lord, if you seek him and seek him with all your heart. Friends, if you're uncertain tonight whether you're truly within the kingdom or not, then it's important that you don't remain in that uncertain state and as if it was in a matter of indifference. But that you would seek first the kingdom of God and leave everything else aside. To what purpose? Anything else that you might use your time for in this coming week? To what purpose the career that you may build and the achievements that you may achieve? Seek first the kingdom of God. So what then must you do? You must call upon him. You say, I struggle to believe his word. Then you must read his word and study his word. It's not through academic rigor, but rather through a knowledge of who God is. And as we study his word, we see who the Lord is. For there Jesus Christ is declared, who is the image of the Father. And we hear tell of his love and of his grace and of his mercy and of his triumph and the sufficiency of his righteousness, so that you might be able to cast yourself upon him, that you might trust in the sufficiency of his word when he promises to receive all who will come to him. You're hesitant to leave yourself in his hands because he may not take you up. And so you must see, you must study and learn of the abundance of his love, that he will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not deal with you as your sins deserve, but rather according to covenant faithfulness, he shall embrace and redeem. Seek to be found within the kingdom, to call upon him, and to know who it is that you call upon, and not distract yourself with this or with that, because it's so easy, isn't it, to pick something up to pass the time. But don't pass the time when time is short and this great need continues. If you're not within the kingdom, you must enter in. If you struggle to believe, then confess that in prayer. Confess that to him. Acknowledge the littleness of your faith. Acknowledge the doubts that you have. Acknowledge the sin that causes you to stumble. Acknowledge the sin that ensnares you and holds you back. Leave nothing unconfessed. Leave nothing unsaid. You know that you ought not to have unbelief, but yet confess that unbelief. Like the father of the son who said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. The Lord did not cast him away. The Lord did not condemn him or rebuke him. But what tender care our Lord demonstrated toward that man and to all who will come. If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, cast yourself into the sea. What is our Lord's priority? It is that you would seek first his kingdom. And his righteousness. Not your own righteousness. Not your own name. Not your own glory. But that you would place yourself under the transformative influence of his grace, that he might make you righteous, that his righteousness would be imputed to you, counted as your own. Do you hear the words of the Lord? He's saying, leave all the other cares of life aside and focus all your energies, all your attention upon this. How can you go to sleep at night when you may wake in a lost eternity? But rather than sleep, rather than while away the time, call upon the Lord in his mercy and his grace. Here is the Lord himself speaking, and he's bidding you to seek the kingdom. He does not bid you to seek the kingdom that he might withhold it from you. He does not bid you to seek the kingdom that he might cast you out of it. But he bids you to seek the kingdom that you might be embraced within. Hear the gracious words of the King. This is his priority, and it ought to be your priority. It's a fearful thing to stand on that final day in the presence of the holiness of God and to say, I had other things. Good intentions will count for nothing. Good intentions deaden the edge of conscience, don't they? Good intentions allow you to sleep, leaving it undone, because tomorrow. But today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, it means then to seek to be found within his kingdom. But there is secondly another application, and it is this, is to seek the advance of his kingdom. Not only that you would be found within it, but being found within it, that you would see the kingdom of God advance and progress. That the revelation of who he is and what he has done would extend. And it's a wonderful thing when a person comes to faith, because inevitably, as a consequence of that, there is an extension of the kingdom, because within that home, if it's been a graceless home before, in that life where it's been a graceless life, there is a demonstration of the lordship of the Saviour, so that many are confronted with the truth of Christ. Seek the advance of his kingdom. Promote the name of Jesus Christ. Consecrate all that you are and all that you have to this great purpose. Make this the purpose of your life, because this is your high calling, your chief end, to glorify God and so to enjoy him forever. You cannot enjoy God if you will not glorify him. Cannot enjoy the kingdom if you won't seek first the kingdom to enter into it and then to advance it. It's not always possible to speak to every person that you meet, is it? Not always possible to have that perfect conversation that you would like to have, whereby you explain all the details of the gospel. Sometimes you can't find the words. Sometimes the situation doesn't allow it. Sometimes the person you speak to positively refuses to hear what it is you want to say, and you stumble to try to say. But nevertheless, you can show the reality of his grace, even in your striving to do so, and in your gracious dealing with them. We're not all called to preach or to go out into the mission field, but we can pray for those who have been called, and we can strive to support them in their ministry and cry out to the Lord that he would send out other labourers into the harvest field, that he would build up his cause, so that many would see and know there is a God in heaven who has mercy. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is our Lord's priority. In all that you do, you need to ask yourself this question: does this fit into the great purpose of my life? Does this redound to the glory of God? Does this sharpen my focus? Does this focus my energies? Or does this waste my time? Whether it is seen by anyone else or not, in the sight of God, you live your lives And he calls you here to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And not to do so is to resist and to reject his wisdom and his grace. Don't do that, friends. May the Lord's priority be your priority in every moment of every day that you are given. We can see firstly then Jesus' priority, but we can see secondly and attached to it, Jesus' promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things shall be added unto you. Here's the promise of our Lord. But even before we come to consider all the things which shall be added unto you, we can consider this, that implied in his very words are that if you seek the kingdom, you shall have the kingdom. If you seek to enter into the kingdom, you will be embraced within it. And if you seek to advance the kingdom, you shall have some part in that great and glorious work. There are these words which are spoken by Jeremiah. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah is speaking words that were first given in Deuteronomy. And they're words addressed to those who are driven into exile because of their sin. And so the Lord is saying to those whose sin has found them out and brought shame and confusion upon them and left them banished and in poverty and in darkness and shackles, that if you seek grace, you shall find it. You know, your sin, your defiant sin, persistent sin does not exclude you from this gracious promise which is made. If you seek the Lord with all your heart. I'm not saying that sin is not great, but what the scripture makes clear is this, that God's grace is greater. God's grace is greater. You shall have the kingdom, because the King shall receive you. Not by a compromise in his holiness or his righteousness. No compromise. No second-class citizen, but rather embraced, counted righteous for Jesus' sake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you shall have it. But then, what is added are these, all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What you shall eat, and what you shall drink, and what you shall wear, and all the stuff of life. Whatever is needful, whatever is for your good. It doesn't mean that you would have everything that you ever saw and ever thought that you would like. It doesn't mean that you have everything that you ever thought that you might need, but you have all things necessary in this life. He will give you of his goodness. He will give you of his fullness. He will give you of his grace. You're not to spend your energies striving after food and drink and clothing and stuff, but rather to spend your energies striving after the Lord himself. And the Lord himself, who is no man's debtor, will give you an abundance of what is necessary so that you might live for his glory. And not only live for his glory, but you might rejoice in that, in your daily bread. This passage is challenging the tendency to worry about tomorrow, to spend all your energies trying to make tomorrow safe, because tomorrow you'll be sure that you have enough to eat and enough to drink and enough to keep you warm. Don't waste your time worrying about all your tomorrows, but rather live your today for the glory of God. And He shall add these blessings to you. It's not that the gospel will change your income, but the gospel will change your outcome. Because it will grant God's blessing upon all that you receive. It says in Proverbs 17, better a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. How many homes tonight are full of sacrifices, full of stuff? But sadly, with all that stuff, there is strife and dissatisfaction. And why is that? It's because there's been a seeking after all that stuff and not a seeking after God. Because all that stuff has been put, as it were, in the place of God with the expectation that all that stuff will bring satisfaction and will give life purpose and will make us whole. And it cannot. And it brings grief and sorrow. There are many blessings to be enjoyed in this life. What we have here or throughout the pages of Scripture is not instruction to deprive ourselves of good things, but it is instruction that we do not become enslaved to good things. Because if you come enslaved to good things, they cease to be good and become bitter and sour. But that you would seek what is best, the Lord Himself, which then gives you a freedom to enjoy what is good. So however much of the blessings of life you are given, they are indeed blessings to you, because you see them as they come from the hand of God. When a young man is in love, whatever meal is put before him by his wife is a happy meal, because he loves her. But where there's no love in the house, it doesn't matter how good the dinner is. It's never a good dinner. It's never a happy meal. You see what the difference is? You see what matters most? That you would have the Lord, and with Him freely all things necessary. But if you will put the Lord to one side and just strive after all these things, you will never have it. You will never know it. All you will see is a need for more and more things, because you're not yet satisfied. And you can build a heap of things. You can imprison yourself within this heap of things, gain the whole world and lose your soul. Jesus' priority is that you seek first the kingdom of God. And Jesus' promise that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And do you see who He's speaking to? In the words that come before, in verse 30, He's rebuking those who have little faith. Isn't that amazing? That He's speaking to those who have little faith. That they're the very ones who shall have all these things added unto them, as they seek first the kingdom of God. Well, we see here, first of all, Jesus' priority, then Jesus' promise, but we have thirdly, Jesus' peace. Because that's what follows, isn't it? Jesus' peace. Because you have the Lord himself. Not alienated any longer. Not hiding and fearful to be found out. Not burdened anymore with shame. But reconciled. It's not a peace that's dependent upon the environment and the circumstances of life. It says that in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There'll still be trouble. There'll still be difficulties. It won't all be easy. But these difficulties and troubles shall be met in the presence of the Lord. You'll not be left alone, will you? John 14, verse 27, the Saviour said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How does he give peace? Well, he gives with power, as he gives himself. So that we can rejoice in the words of the familiar psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The peace of the Lord, which comes from the presence of our Lord, even in the midst of all the difficult circumstances of life. This is no shallow, false, empty gospel. Glossing over, pretending that all is well, but acknowledging the trials and the difficulties, and identifying the grace of God that is to be enjoyed in them. Enjoyed in them. Sometimes in the greatest of terrors and traumas, God is to be found in such an intimate way. So that those who have endured such trials are able even to praise God. To praise God for his faithfulness and for his wisdom. And even the difficulty of his providence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We find here Jesus' priority. We see also his promise, and we think of his peace. And this is the last Lord's Day of the year. And I didn't realize this when I began to prepare, but this is the passage I preached on at the beginning of this year. And how much time, how much energy, and how much joy has been lost over this past year. Because we have not been seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, but we've been concerned about what we'll eat and what we will drink and what we will wear and all the stuff of life. How many nights have we stayed awake? How many days have been passed in distraction? How many burdens have been borne that ought not to have been borne, because they ought to have been cast at the feet of our Lord as we confess our trouble and our trials and seek his grace? All that worry won't extend your life. All that worry won't sort your life. It may shorten it. The year is gone. But the Lord in his mercy speaks to us afresh this night. And however many days or weeks or years that we might be given, we are to hear him this evening and to make his priority our priority. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Do you hear the gracious voice of the Lord as he speaks to you? His very righteousness, his holiness, his very presence testifies to your sin, doesn't it? You find yourself hesitant, uncomfortable to be exposed. But in his grace, he exposes the reality of our sin that we might seek the healing of his redemption. That we might confess sin. That we might turn from it. That we might be forgiven and made whole. The Lord speaks to you tonight, friends. Don't go another day. Don't go another step without him. And though you may fear the smallness of your faith, never fear the smallness of God, who is able to save to the uttermost all who set their trust in him. O ye of little faith, there's a rebuke. Is there not also a warmth in his words? O ye of little faith, he knows the reality of your trust. It's not as it ought to be, but if your trust is in the Lord, isn't that glorious? Isn't that a wonderful reality? Isn't that to be confessed? And not to rejoice in your faith, but to rejoice in your Lord and to acknowledge that he indeed is your Lord and your Saviour. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen.